five graphs in front of you just illustrate what's happened over time. And just my quick summary is that, yes, more bills are being introduced each session, generally, and more of them are dying in committee, primarily their first chamber. You're pretty much even keel over time in terms of the number of bills that you adopt each session. So I just thought it would be interesting for you to look at that sort of information. Also in your packet, we have Exhibit C from Ann Boss when she came to testify before the Committee on Senate Bill 5522. In her material, she provided Exhibit C, which identifies all House members and Senate members, not by name, but just by a number and not their district number, but the number of bills each member requested and then which how many they introduced and the percentage that they introduced. So that was her raw data. And then Krista Shuhard, she rekeyed all of that data in, and the then we sorted it just to kind of get an average, get an idea of the average number of requests per member of the Senate, which was 30. And the average number of requests per House member, which was 27.
Nice.
And then in terms of bills introduced, on the Senate side, the average number was 26. And on the House, it was 20 bills introduced. So, again, just some statistics for you to look at. I've also provided you the statistical summary from Legislative Council from 2005. It's really an interesting document if you haven't seen it before. They show you how many bills were requested, how many resolutions, memorials, and the percentage by week of session as to how many have been requested by week in the session of House bills and Senate bills. And then they also give you a little history of the length of session. So, again, just great information. And the final item in your packet are the committee measure requests and the committee amendment request documents that Legislative Council prefers that members and committee staff use when requesting bills or amendments in their office.
Mm-hmm. Questions for Marjorie? Very good work.
Thank you.
Very interesting.
I like data. I'm a data geek.
Well, I would just want to make a note, Mr. Chair, that if we could just take out the 131 bills of one senator, our average would not be 30, but it would be like 12 per member. We'd have a much lower average.
That's good. Is that you, Rick?
No, I know who it is, though. Weekly Democrat knows who that is.
There's a couple of things we need to talk about today, and we've asked Senator Brown, Senator Farioli, to join us. And why don't you two come on up? We need to discuss how the special session next February gets managed in terms of bill introductions. And then we also need to see if there needs to be some reform limitations, controls for the 09 session.
Or 30.
So that we can expedite our work and perhaps facilitate Legislative Council being able to do its job better and with less stress and perhaps reduce turnover and so on. Because there's been, everybody agrees that it's all, I wouldn't call it dysfunctional, but it's been difficult this year. So, Senator Brown, why don't we start with you and then we'll let Ted pipe in. First of all, give us your wisdom on how you think the bill introductions for the special session in February would be managed, and who would be able to introduce bills and on what topics and so on, and then any ideas for reforms that would carry to the 09 session.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to talk for a minute about for the record, State Senator Kate Brown represents Senate District 21, a little bit of Northeast Portland, a lot of bit of Southeast Portland, and the city of Milwaukee. I just want to talk for a minute just about the efforts to limit members from introducing, from both drafting and introducing bills, because I actually had an experience with that. I believe it was in 2001. Gene Durfler was the Senate president and was really concerned, frankly, about legislative council run amok, and he proposed limiting members to 25 introductions per member. And there was a revolt, and that did not happen. But I do think we should work in that direction, and the first piece is limiting the number of drafts, and I will tell you, I'm guessing I bat about 80%, 90% in terms of the bill drafts that I request and then actually introduce. I will say we are a post-term limits body, and my experience has been that newer, younger folks tend to introduce more bills. I know when I was in the House, I introduced on the average 50 to 75 bills. My actual introduction rate is down substantially now, and I don't know if that's due to old age or due to my desire to focus and have really good products. So, but I do think it's critically important that we, as a body, and unfortunately, it used to be, I think, that in the olden days that the Senate President and the Speaker would say, we will do this or we shall do this, and it would happen. And I don't think we work that way anymore. I think it's going to have to be members deciding that we are willing to restrict ourselves to some number of bill limitation. I think that forces us to focus, limit, et cetera. I think it also, what it may also do is drive our committee. I mean, if you have each member can do, 25 bill drafts and actually 20 introductions, it would force our committees to probably move in a more committee-operated bill draft and moving bill. So you have to also be aware of that at the same time. Marjorie's smiling because she knows what will happen is that we'll have committees gone wild at that point in time. But I do think that we need to drive ourselves in that direction. In terms of the 08 session, I think it's critically important that we truly limit ourselves to emergency committee processed bills. And I guess what I would tell the committee, and this is probably not going to be very popular, that I don't think we should even allow each member to do one bill draft. I mean, when you look at that, that's 90 bills. We would be here for a long time because you'd have to set up some kind of process to hear that. And I don't know, frankly, what the answer is in terms of a funnel or a filter. You could certainly do a printing committee that would be nonpartisan in nature, that would determine whether issues would go forward or not. But I think you're still going to need, frankly, a tighter funnel in order to get us out of here within a relatively short period of time. So I frankly don't have the answer. I'm happy to have this conversation. I think it's critically important, and we need to have it and make some decisions like yesterday. So thank you for your time. Happy to have further conversations about this.
Okay. We'll hear from Senator Farioli, and then we just want to have a dialogue here, and so we'll have members asking you questions, and you can ask us questions. Senator Farioli, welcome, and thank you for coming this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, State Senator Ted Farioli, District 30. First of all, it's a pleasure to be at the first of the last of anything. So if this is the first of the last hearings of a committee, I just think that the credit goes to members of the committee and the chair for managing to have that distinction. I appreciate the opportunity for this conversation. I know I joined my colleague in wondering about how we can accomplish a focusing. The suggestion that I would make in order not to have our February special legislative session get completely out of control is that we emphasize pre-session filing through the caucus offices and make that a consensus process where you will ask the members to bring all of their ideas for the session to the caucus and discuss and share those ideas among members so that leadership in those offices can ask for a winnowing process and bring that down as far as possible. I think we may have trouble in an absolute limitation because there are constitutional rights and privileges that are conferred to legislators. And I don't know by what mechanism we would prohibit the act of legislation, which is in fact the duty of the legislator. So I would suggest that we try to adopt a winnowing process through the caucus offices and ask other caucuses in this building to participate in a way that would reduce that. I would also ask that we make those caucus leadership members parties for the purposes of confidentiality, and this could be either during the legislative session or the special legislative session. And the reason for that is at least there would be an organization that would know if two or more members are working on the same legislative concept, and perhaps they would be able to coordinate at least within the caucuses. Mm-hmm. I know that some members jealously guard the ideal of confidentiality, and they want to have time to develop their idea for legislation without sort of letting the cat out of the bag before they believe the timing is right. But at least if the caucus leaders were made a party to the request for legislation, they would have the ability to work with that legislator and other legislators that may be working on the same or similar concept. So I would just say that those are two ideas that may help us focus and perhaps focus earlier for the special legislative session in February.
Okay. Questions for our witnesses? Senator Avakian.
Senator Brown, when you were talking about limiting the number of bills that are filed, were you talking about just a shift in culture and the way we do things, or were you talking about rules?
Mr. Chair, Senator Avakian, and I think it can be, I think it's going to need to be both, frankly. And I was really focused on a regular session in terms of driving the process. But I think that sort of the dynamics around power and leadership have really changed in the last 20 years. And my point was the presiding officers can't just make a decision, decide, you know, we're going to limit bills, that this body, that we as individuals are going to need to limit ourselves. But I think at the same token, we're going to have to agree on a rule or whatever to make that happen. I mean, otherwise you're going to get, you know, a few members run amok, and that's clearly, as I look at these numbers, which I hadn't seen, are really fascinating, really what's driving this process is that you've got a majority of folks doing 20 to 25 members measures in the Senate, and then you've got a few doing a whole lot. So,
Senator Atkinson.
Just a comment for the discussion. I I've looked through this, Marjorie, and haven't seen it. It's been my experience that especially natural resources issues and in business committees in January, February, and March, we are predominantly doing agency bills at the request of the governor. And that seems to take up a huge amount of our workload as we're waiting for things to either come out of LC or things that are called quote-unquote housekeeping. We're banging, gaveling through housekeeping measures. Senator Vaki and I could tell you, look at hearings of 10 of these different agency bills a day, and days turn into weeks and weeks turn into months, where it seems like the first couple of sessions or first couple of months of session we're doing nothing but rubber stamping things for the executive. Now, I don't think that's healthy for the legislative body, but we haven't discussed limiting agency requests.
Now, if you were governor, you might feel differently about that.
Well, actually, I have given that a lot of thought. I think part of the weakness of the legislative branch is that we've allowed the executive to become too strong in those first two months of session. I don't think that's healthy regardless of who's governor.
Mr. Chair, Senator Atkinson, I guess how I would respond to that is I think it's critically important, and with all due respect to our presiding officer, the Senate President has really made the interim committee process much more of a priority. And my sense is if we had more big sort of ticket item legislative proposals ready to rock and roll at the outset of session, we would not be spending as much sort of process time on agency bills, and the focus could be on the major legislative issues that we're working. And I think the Senate President is right when he is trying to drive us to be more prepared, focus more on the interim process. I don't know how you'd go about limiting the executive's power to introduce housekeeping bills. I think that would be a bit challenging, and probably there might be some constitutional issues with it. So,
Mr. Chair, I actually think that's a good comment, and I agree, but I think we can limit the amount of agency or executive bills that the legislative branch will hear under our own rules. I think the amount of, if we're going to limit the people's ability, theoretically, to introduce access to their government through their appointed or their elected state representatives or state senators, we're going to allow the agencies to, at the request of the governor, to have 15 housekeeping measures for this agency and three for this board, and I don't think that's healthy for the legislative branch.
Mr. Chairman, I've thought a lot about that issue as well, and there's a couple of approaches that I think might be helpful. First, within the ability of the management of legislative council, there needs to be an allocation of time and resources to agencies that's separate and apart from the time allocated and the resource allocated to the legislative branch, because there simply isn't an unlimited amount of resource or time. And what happens is the agencies do exactly as Senator Atkinson has said. If they find a problem, they draft a bill. Perhaps it would be better for all of us if the relating clause broad enough for the agency to do all of its housekeeping under one measure was worked on during the interim, then each of the agencies would have a bill that would be their housekeeping bill. And somebody obviously would have to coordinate that with legislative council to create the broad-based relating clause and to make sure that they understand they get one bite of the apple. The other thing that I think occurs is that agencies end up essentially consuming a lot of resources that I don't think they pay for. I mean, the fact of the matter is that when one of our agencies, or if this body has a question that it has to ask of our chief counsel, there's a bill. And I wonder if we didn't enter into some kind of a quid pro quo if somebody at agencies wouldn't discover that they could participate in the process with a lot greater economy of need. And that wouldn't have a constitutional limitation to these folks. They'd have free access. But there would be a self-limitation there because they get one bite of the apple, you get one sort of cleanup bill, and more than that, you'd have to pay, you know, above and beyond a certain number of hours. And I think that's entirely within the purview of the director, our chief counsel in legislative council, as long as we were willing to support that person with the appropriate rules. So I've resented the fact that legislators cannot get their bills out because they're in queue behind several hundred bills that our legislative council is drafting for agencies. And similarly, I think it would be in our best interest to survey the members of the Capital Club. It's sort of a quality control survey, and ask them, what kind of frustrations did you encounter, given that this was a rebuilding year in legislative council, in getting amendments out and getting your drafts through? Because I know that leadership in the whole building was hearing from a lobby and citizens well into the legislative session that they couldn't get their amendments out. They were still waiting for original drafts of bills, and they were already facing the deadline for introductions. Yeah. And that caused a pretty significant consternation among folks that have a lot of experience in this process. So we ought to ask them, you know, what happened. And then we ought to survey Ledge Council and find out, you know, where are they on the curve of a facility, because we know that we had a lot of staff turnover and a change in management, and that always is fairly disruptive in the workflow. And this was the session that we knew we were going to encounter that. The question is, what changes need to be made, what course corrections need to be made, and are we going to do that by guess, or are we going to use Marjorie Taylor's wisdom and focus on getting the data so that we can make good decisions?
So I'm hearing limit agencies' ability to access legislative counsel, charge them for the use of legislative counsel, and a third thing might be set back the date so that any requests that they have be earlier in the queue so that they would be completed. Senator Metzger.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just yeah. If
I think you're hearing that from Senator Farioli, not from me.
You are hearing that from me. What I guess I'm really saying is that there should be a mechanism to allocate time just as in any law firm. So you don't want to cut off the legislative council services from agencies. But if they had one bill for housekeeping, policy bills would not fall under that rule. But the point there is that you wouldn't see 4 or 5 or 9 or 10 housekeeping bills from a single agency. You'd see one. That would cut down not necessarily the workload, but the committee time that's spent on that housekeeping bill. And then allocate a portion that's reasonable to the executive branch, and simply tell folks, you know, we have to work concurrently on legislative output for the members. And currently, I think what they do is work on the agency bills first. And our members, in fact, are waiting in queue behind agency bills. And that's where I think the frustration comes from.
Aren't agency bills usually introduced through interim committees?
No.
Not at all?
Many are pre-session filed, yeah. Mr. Chair. But they are not necessarily worked through the process early. I mean, they in fact compete with time. The first month or so, it's amazing to get anything out of Ledge Council, and what is coming out of their agency bills.
Mr. Chair, I guess I would just Senator Farioli's underlying assumption is that our lack of effectiveness is due to the power of the executive branch, and I just would dispute that underlying assumption that the reason the legislature is ineffective or lacks clout or effectiveness is because of the power of the executive branch. I think our problem is that we need to be more effective and more efficient and work together better, and that if we can figure out a way to focus our attention on the interim committees so that our legislative agendas and our legislative bills are ready to rock and roll at the outset of session, I think we can move the process more effectively. I also think moving to annual sessions will get us there as well. But I don't think limiting the access to the legislative process to the executive branch will make us a better branch, I have to tell you. So I would just sort of disagree with the underlying assumptions, and that I heard what Senator Atkinson saying is by limiting our bill requests that we're going to limit citizen access to the process. I totally disagree. I think that forces legislators to prioritize citizen requests, and I think if you go through these bill requests, you will find that the vast majority are not from constituent citizens. They're from ideas we pick up from reading in CSL magazine. They're from special interest groups, lobby, folks that are interested in moving legislation. So I guess, and there are ways to do making sure that citizens have access by having a bill printing committee or other ways. I think most legislatures, and I haven't seen the numbers, but I believe that most legislatures limit bill draft and introductions. I just think, you know, we're spending a lot of time and energy. I bet it's about 50% of bills that actually are not even heard. So,
and Mr. Chair, just not to be argumentative, but it's not, I have no underlying assumption about the relative power of the branches. What I really am trying to focus on is setting priorities within Ledge Council, allocating resources to all the customers that are served instead of just sort of taking everything over the transom, and strictly limit those housekeeping measures so that you don't have more than one iteration of a housekeeping bill coming from an agency. So it really has nothing to do with the power of the executive overshadowing the power of the legislative branch. It has to do with setting priorities and managing differently in in the basement.
Okay. Senator Metzger.
Thank you.
And then Senator Morse.
I think on two issues, the regular session and then the special session. I do believe that this kind of reminds me of as we start session with bills and trying to get things heard and talking about agency bills and jam up in legislative council. And to me, it kind of reminds me of going to I-5 and you got the lanes and all of a sudden it bottlenecks at Delta Park and you kind of know what's going to happen and we go through this on a regular basis. And I do think that jam is really a product of, I think, what a number of folks have said, is really managing that process. And for example, in this session, this is our last committee meeting, 1,265 bills died on Monday at midnight, not because there was a limitation on the number of bills, but because the process was managed to certain endpoints. And I think you can manage that process here also to make the bill flow go more smoothly without necessarily saying a certain number of bills. For example, I do believe that returning members should have a higher burden in terms of bills, because if you're coming back, you should be able to, you know, get things done. And then an earlier deadline for your priority bills kind of has a way of taking care of that without limiting. You know, if your priority bills are February 28th, but now it's January 28th, it's going to kind of have a way to self-limit. But I think that I think returning members should have different requirements. I think with the governor, in terms of agency bills in a non-gubernatorial election year, these are professional staff, and they're here all the time, and they should have a deadline that's different, I think, for agencies in a current administration. We should be able to get those things done earlier. And then the other thing is, I think, in terms of this upcoming special session, I do really appreciate what the Senate President did this last year in interim committees, where, you know, they really had substance. I know the Educational Excellence Committee that I was fortunate enough to serve on, you know, had a very specific assignment, and those pieces of legislation were understood to be critical and be introduced, and, you know, the School Improvement Fund is what it now it represents. But I'm thinking in terms of always thinking of how do you make these interim committees more relevant to members so that they participate and they realize that there is a reason to participate. And what I would like to see, in some form anyway, as we go into the special session, that perhaps maybe the only bills, or at least almost all of any bills that would be introduced in the special session, have to clear the interim committee. So, in other words, that is your access point, and people will participate in those committees, meaning knowing that the products of those committees are the things that are going to be allowed in special session. I think that makes us more diligent about our work between June 30th and February. It means we also spend the time on those critical issues. I mean, certainly the President and the Speaker are going to decide what might ultimately get introduced in the session, but if we knew that process was expected, that our bright ideas shouldn't be turned on February 1st, that they need to start being turned on and worked on in the interim, I think the committee process would be much more functional, I think much more focused, and people realize that there was a real objective and a real outcome by participating in those interim processes.
Comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And before I ask the committee to indulge me in a comment on that part of the issue, I'd like to suggest that the Senator Metzger earlier mentioned the Weekly Democrat, and I think it's been strongly suggested to me that in the next iteration of the Weekly Democrat, it is distributed concurrently with, quote, the Minority Report. So we will be answering the Weekly Democrat back. So we've been taking careful notes during the interim between January and today, and we have a backlog of great stories for the Minority Report.
Look forward to that.
Dueling humor.
Yes, and as I'm on the topic of minority, let me look at the makeup of this committee. As the minority leader, I have to suggest that the introducing bills only through committee virtually silences the minority. The problem with introductions only with a committee, and we've had a few examples of that in this legislative session, that the chair, you give tremendous power to the chair. And if the chair is unwilling or for whatever reason is unable to entertain the suggestions of minority members, those bills simply will not emerge from that committee. So I would say to you, although it may be an efficiency, it effectively muzzles a group of folks that have every right to the access to this legislative session. So I would suggest to you, unless you're willing to reformulate the committees, which I doubt that will that would be seriously entertained, there's got to be a mechanism for minority members to introduce their bills and have an expectation that that those bills will be heard or at least considered along with the other work outputs of the legislature.
Well, my comment would be good chairs work with majority and minority members and are cognizant of their needs and even give them courtesy for introductions. I always have. Many other chairs that I've worked with do it that way. There may be some that are highly partisan that don't, and that's unfortunate. And it's up to a good Senate president to make sure that he puts good people in those chairmanships, people that are willing to work with majority and minority members. I think if you ask the minority members of this committee, they'll tell you that I've done that this session. And if you look back to my previous career, talk to senators like the former Senator Cub Houck, people like that that I worked with before, they would tell you the same thing. So it ought to be done that way. You're absolutely right. The minority ought not to be shut out, and we need to make sure that the process does not shut them out.
Senator Chairman, there are many excellent chairs in this process.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Senator Morse?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I may redirect the discussion just a little bit, if you'll recall, the Public Commission on the Legislature made a recommendation with respect to annual sessions, and we, by concurrent resolution, established timelines and milestones essentially within this session and a date to end, Mr. President. And then we said, let's have essentially the month of February as a special session. What I'd like to have your reflection on is the joint resolution that we heard at a public hearing obviously took no action because it was premature to think about asking voters to change the Constitution until we have in fact proven that we have the ability to manage annual sessions. It seems to me that the discussion we're having here should be focused on meeting the needs of what we would eventually refer to the voters for change. Now, that resolution was 120 days in the odd years and 60 days in the even years. If you reflect on this session, we would be preparing for sine die right now under that system. If you look at the state of Washington, you know, they've long since adjourned their regular session. It's at, 105 calendar days and 60 days. So it seems to me that our discussion needs to be focusing on how would we manage to an eventual system that would be codified in the the Constitution, and it would require significant changes in the way we manage the odd year regular session. If you might respond to that, please.
Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, I think how I would respond is I think that's a little tricky, and I frankly think the best person to respond to that question is the presiding officer, Senate President, who's here. But what I would say are twofold. Number one, we are moving towards or hoping to have what I would call as a 30-day, a long special session in February of 08. And I think the actual model for that is the special session we had last year in March. And that is, a couple of issues, a couple of budget issues that we had both the minority and the majority working together to come up with the set agenda. And I wouldn't necessarily use that model, but I think that framework is what we need to drive toward in order to have the ability to get in and get out of here in the 30-day time period. I think that's very different than moving towards the Washington model of 120 days and 60 days, because I think we're really going to have to look to our sisters to the north to get sort of their criteria and their framework for driving, because I think 120 is, as we're finding, I think we're going to really struggle to get to the June 29th deadline. I think that's really a challenge for us, and I think it's a number of things. You know, it's having to say to chairs, you know, we needed your bill agenda last week in order for it to be on this last week's agenda to have the fiscal impact statements. It's those kinds of pieces that people are not used to, and I think the value in this shorter session and then I don't want to call it a weenie session in February, but is to get folks a sense of what it's like to really limit, shove, move things through in a really rapid order. I think our greatest challenge, and I just kind of want to respond to Senator Mesker's comment, you know, the Senate President has really taken leadership in terms of moving us toward relevant interim committees, and I think our greatest challenge as a legislative body, not just in this state but across the country, is for legislatures in general, and that is the growing tension between direct democracy and representative democracy. And I think you know, we've done a really good job with using technology, moving to 24 cable access, going on the road, increasing public access times to kind of make ourselves more relevant and accessible, but to meet the needs of folks in this century. But I think our greatest challenge is, you know, as we drive toward 120 and 60, how do we do so in a way that we're using technology so that our constituents, you know, all of Oregon, again, feels like they're involved in that process and can really use it. And I think that's really going to be the challenge, you know, feeling like we're pushing just to get out on June 29th.
Getting ready for this first special session in 08 is going to require a lot of work, and we have a very short period of time. By my calculation, we have about 4 months effectively for interim committees to work, mid-July to mid-November, and then they better have their work done if anything's going to be pre-session filed and be ready for the 1st of February. So it's going to be incumbent upon your leadership, Mr. President, and the House Speaker and others that to decide and perhaps to limit the number of interim committees to those that are really necessary, not so that every person gets their chairmanship or whatever, but effectively those that are really necessary, and get them busy working immediately upon sine die so that we can use those 4 months effectively and have our work ready by mid-November.
And Mr. Chair, I sort of was at Senator Ferriola suggesting that we use the caucus offices as a funnel, just because I think it puts the caucus leaders in the position of being the enforcers. But I do think, after you made your comments, that it might be a really useful way of giving voice to the minority, having a funnel in a way that caucus members can participate. And I don't know how you do that. You know, maybe you give each caucus 10 bills or something along those lines, and really force the caucus offices with their inadequate staffs to have the caucuses come up with a limited agenda. And that way, you know, both the minority and the majority have a voice. I don't know.
Yeah. And Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that. That is exactly the thrust of that comment. The other thing is, I believe Senator Morris may have, his suggestion may have great merit. If we could sort of tease apart the two different strands that have to go on. We have an interim that leads up to a regular session, and then we have a period of time leading up to a special session. If committees were formed to focus entirely on the remaking of the legislature, with the idea that they would be working specifically on recommendations from the Commission on the State Legislature and other recommendations for the retiming and the referral. That could be, you know, a major focus and an early focus. The reason I suggest that that's going to be an important thing is we really haven't grappled with the idea of the declining importance of the Legislative Emergency Board if we do annual sessions.
Yes.
And that's sort of got to be folded into this thing.
Yes.
And I'm not sure whether that takes place in February 08 or the run-up takes place then. The other thing is, if there was a mechanism for us to deal with this committee that would be only limited or be working only on the recommendations of the commission on the state legislature and others to remake the legislature, then that would lessen the idea that we have to balance the rights and responsibilities of this special session among legislators and the other interests that would focus on this thing. In other words, if you want to make this truly a special legislative session and not just a mini regular legislative session, one way to accomplish that was perhaps the suggestion that Senator Morse made, which is focus only during that period of time on the commission recommendations, the retiming issues, the changing role of the legislature relative to the e-board. And in that way, you have a better chance of making the 28 days of February produce a product. I frankly worry that once you get into legislative session, we'll find out that you cannot limit the inspiration that will inevitably occur to chairmen and women when they're here and they have the pressure from their constituents and we have emerging issues, the political issues that they feel are critical issues. So I worry about us getting in special legislative session with a 28-day deadline.
That's why we need a funnel.
Here until January of the following year.
And Mr. Chair.
It has to be limited.
No question. And I think this is sort of goes back to Senator Atkinson's point of limiting the executive branch power. And I don't know that I would necessarily phrase it that way. But I know for me, one of the reasons why us even coming in February to deal with whether you're dealing with some budget issues, some issues that would likely end up on the ballot, and other issues that we could agree upon as a body. But I think one of the things that's really critically important about us coming in is making sure that our agencies, the executive branch agencies, are following through with the agendas and the direction that we have given them. And I think by virtue of our being here in the building, it sort of keeps us on their radar screen.
Senator Atkinson had another comment.
Thank you. I'm just a simple country boy. I'm not sure what the Latin phrase weenie session is, but care to comment?
Mr. Chair, I adopted it hearing it from the presiding officer.
I think a couple of points are pretty important. One is that the conversation that we had during the last interim should continue because we have right now proposed this trial run that I think everyone agrees has to work, which is a six-month session and then a one-month session. But I believe through this interim we should also be having the conversation about should one be a budget and one be a policy? Should they be shortened in time? I don't personally believe 6 months and 1 month are workable. And certainly I think Senator Farrelly made a good point about the e-board. I mean, those are the topics that we probably should be working on all interim and have a goal that by the end of this mini session that we put out the referral on whatever it should be. But I personally think 6 months is too long, and 1 month is, having been a veteran like I think all of us are of all the special sessions, 1 month is just, by the time we figure out how to do opening ceremonies, we're going to be halfway through with the session. So I would urge us to have some kind of interim committee that would be working on the 30,000 foot view of what the legislature should look like when we are successful at the end of next February. Because I do believe that we have a major problem with relative power between the branches. Second point is that since this is our last day, Mr. Chairman, I would hope that the Rules Committee would take up an issue that we touched on earlier that this committee uncovered that I don't think we've resolved, which has to do with the amount of money that LC charges executive branches and the discrepancy between our LC amounts and the Attorney General amounts. I would hope the Rules Committee would take that up and make those the same amounts.
And although this is our last formal meeting, Marjorie and Senator Morris and I are going to prepare sort of a written report from this conversation that will be then distributed to all of the leaders of the House and Senate in terms of our suggestions. Senator Vakian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The I guess I want to add maybe at least my own perspective on some of the things we've talked about, because we've used a lot of words like inefficient and lacking power in the legislative branch. And I have seen something I think that is quite different and quite remarkable from this body this session. In a couple examples, one is rules we've passed or just decisions we've made to distance ourselves from the lobby in some ways, such as not allowing the notes on the floor so that chamber is kept something quite sacred and personal to us when we're in there debating. Some of the rules on gifts that we're still debating. The timelines that we have set and I think met every single one of them. The decision to come back into a special session next year. And I guess what that shows me is that this is a legislative body that has taken these issues as its own and is starting to make its own reforms as opposed to simply being led by some other branch or some other entity. And even with respect to the very, very good work that the commission did, we haven't rubber stamped any of those things. What we've done is we've taken those ideas and we're digesting them ourselves and we're making our own decisions about what direction we think this body should go. And I think that is a quite powerful thing for the legislative branch to be doing. And frankly, it gives me great respect for the body and great hope and optimism about where this body is headed in the next couple of years.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Farioli.
I think that relative to Senator Avakian's comments, there's been a great deal of good work, and there's been some of the same old stuff going on. In relation to what we are, the task that we've set before ourselves for February 2008, it's got to be the best work we've done, maybe ever. And it will go forth to a largely skeptical public, because we're talking about remaking, you know, not only the culture that Senator Avakian referred to, but the systems and the procedures and how we organize ourselves. It's a fairly major thing to do to get folks to suspend whatever disbelief they have and to essentially let go of the tradition of the biannual session in recognition of our, in some cases, reluctant march into the 21st century and the difficulty of dealing with and the complexity of the issues that legislators face today. It's a big thing. And what's incumbent on us is to set it out in a way that seems orderly and organized and reasonable, and most of all, that the public will agree with. And to do that in a 28-day session, and to do all the things that we need to do in a public manner leading up to that, is a tall order. So I would just suggest that I think it's a doable thing, but I think it's going to take real organization to get there. It is a very big concept, probably on the same as any of the largest concepts that we've dealt with or seen dealt with by other legislatures since since the state was founded.
This is a major step forward in terms of representative democracy that we're talking about, because under the old system, when I served 25, 30 years ago, we came into regular session, leadership dominated, and then we went home. And after we went home, the E-Board became the mini legislature. The governor and the executive had unlimited power to implement what we'd done or to not implement what we had done. And this move toward annual sessions, limited annual sessions, is a step forward for representative democracy. That's why I support it. We have only a few minutes left. I'd like to hear from Senator Morrison. I'd like to hear from our Senate President on this discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I certainly will defer time to the President because of his role. One suggestion I think is appropriate is...
Senator Brown, you need to leave?
I need to leave. Sorry, I've got bills up in the House.
Thank you for coming with us.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Mr. Chair, if I may, just a couple quick things. I mean, I certainly agree with Senator Avakian's comments. I think we've done some really amazing things this session, but the reality is representative democracy is really messy, and our job in the age of American Idol is to make it both relevant and productive, and I just think our challenges are great. I think we're totally and completely up to the task, but we need to be relevant and we need to be productive. So thank you with that. I would need to...
Senator Brown, Senator Farioli, thank you for joining us today.
Mr. Chairman, as the minority leader, I have to tell you I have no bills up anywhere, so I can stay.
Of course.
It seems to me, you know, we have no bill to advance. We have no resolution. It's a discussion point. We have a letter that we will advance. It seems to me that in that letter it should be an encouragement to leadership to craft a blueprint that can be circulated to all members as soon as possible with respect to how we envision this process to work, engaging the minority parties as well in crafting that so that we understand, all of us, how we will be approaching this next session. I don't know how else we can do it other than transfer this responsibility to leadership to actually create that blueprint. With that, Mr. President?
Courtney? No pressure, Mr. President.
The issue of restructuring legislature actually started last session when unanimous votes in the Senate and the House said that they would like a public commission set up to study the legislative branch. And that commission stunned me when they came out and said, not that they said you should have an annual session, but that they said you should try it before you ask the public to accept it. And I don't think any legislature in the nation has ever tried this kind of thing that we're trying, this kind of experiment. And it's amazing, the other night, I didn't realize how many deadlines were in SCR 1 until I read it the other night. And it's... It's a remarkable document, regardless of the vote on it, because I found myself last night thinking that I have never been in a legislative session that says, we will end this session by this date. I have never been in a session like that. Now, there are other deadlines leading up to the 29th of June, and we're getting there. But I've never had that, this is it, it's over, you have to have it done by now. So I'm not even used to that kind of concept in my life. Then we're going to come back in February, and it's also an SCR1. We've said we're going to use that same approach. Well, I have to tell you, we talk about the interim. To me, the interim doesn't exist anymore. The committees. I'm not so sure the committees shouldn't stay intact, with the exception of one or two, the committees that we now have. Ways and Means. There are 21 members in the Senate on Ways and Means. To me, the E-Board basically no longer really exists until after February. We have already started changing. And with all due respect to some of the comments made, I do think this supplemental session, it is not a special session of my own thinking, has to deal with some budget issues and some public policy issues. And for the life of me right now, and Senator Farioli knows this, I don't quite know how we're going to limit that. Now, I even considered once, and Senator Farioli, you know this, because I agree with you, Senator Farioli, we have to protect the minority rights. We have a committee of equal number of Democrats and Republicans decide what bills go in. We discussed that once in the past. So at this stage, this is a very viable conversation, very alive. I haven't made up my own mind because I will not do it in a vacuum. You're absolutely right that today of a tyrant, well, some people may think I am, of an all-powerful Senate president or speaker are long past. The thing that I am worried about is I think I'm reaching the conclusion in my own mind, we're going to have to say if the bills aren't pre-session files, we're not going to deal with them. I think that is starting to come to me. I don't know how we do this any other way. There's that much. I don't know how we decide what bills get in and don't. I have concluded, even though we're doing two-year budgets, we're going to have to adjust that budget or tinker with it in some way in February. We didn't talk about the initiative process, but that April special session, there were two issues that were very viable in the initiative process that we took on, regardless of how you felt about them, payday loans and Jessica's bill. That is an issue also that I think makes February a very, very dynamic session. One last thing. If we don't have enough to do, and this I'm going to regret saying, in that February session for 90 legislators, this building will rock and roll like you've never seen it rock and roll, because individuals are bringing themselves into this place. They've left family and business from a long way away. And if only a few people are on committees, and there's just a few committees that are truly working, this is going to be a very, very unpleasant place. That's my opinion about human nature. So I'm not just saying we have make work, but I do think we have to retain most of the committee process. Just my thinking now, Senator Farrell and members of the committee, during the, you want to call it interim, as well as in the general session. I think the ways and means process, again, just Peter's thinking, has to be pretty much maintained. I'm just speaking out loud now going in, but we are really going to have to ratchet down. Only these policies bills will dealt with, and this is what we're going to do with the budget. So that's just my view on it now. But again, I'm not the one designing it. Senator Farrell knows this. We meet every so often. We have, and I'm not sure we're going to have the answer, Senator Morris, by the end of the session in terms of this is exactly how we're going to do it. We're working on it, but I don't have the answers right now. So thank you. I was hoping you wouldn't call on me because I'm thinking about this just as this session is novel. We've never tried anything like we're doing in this session. That February session will be a challenge, too, because it's even a shorter period of time. 60 days would have been easier than just February, in my opinion. But that's what we said we're going to do, so thank you for asking me to comment, and I just hope you all feel, I just hope one thing, I told this to the speaker the day, we all are as committed to February, to June 29th as we need to be, because we really do need to make sure that we comply with that date. If we don't, one will spin it anywhere they want, but probably we will have lost our opportunity for any annual session in Oregon's history, for the foreseeable future. If we can't do that, then I think we will probably have lost the mold to say we need an annual session. My opinion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Would it help if the interim committees that meet between July and November would be joint substantive committees with House and Senators combined, or do you think that would slow things down?
Oh, Mr. Chairman,
great question.
Where does the time go?
I wish I used to love joint committees until this session. And I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we've got a lot of things to think about between now and then. I'd like to thank this committee. I've told many people that I believe that this Senate is the finest body of public officials that I've ever had the privilege of serving with, and that's from top to bottom. And I feel very privileged to have chaired this committee. I feel very privileged to be a member of this body. And with that, we are adjourned.
Okay. Nice work. Very, very good. I have an idea.